We'll call the meeting to order. It is 6:31, we'll say. This will be the new thing where we pronounce our times when we move from section to section. We'll begin with our roll call. We have everyone here. Boyd Frederick is not in attendance, and Christina Dalton is not in attendance for youth and government. Otherwise, all members are here. We have two sets of minutes for approval of the minutes of the previous meetings. One for October 10th, and one for October 3rd. If everyone has received those, do we have a motion on that?
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second it.
Move to approve both sets of minutes. Any discussion or changes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We will move on. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and government comments. I really have nothing. Any committee members? Any other supervisors or youth and government comments? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizen that would wish to discuss anything with the committee would have 5 minutes to speak, and we only ask that you give your name and address. Any citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Ken Muehlbauer. I live in Pleasant Prairie at 9128 Prairie Village Drive. And I just want to make a couple comments on the golf division, starting with the report that was submitted by Velocity Consulting, which it seems everybody's in agreement. It was very impressively done, very good work. I think the students have learned a lot. There's nothing like practical experience if you're on your way to an employment interview. I think they'll do well. I think it was suggested by Supervisor Rose that it be adopted as the plan to move forward with the division, and I would have some concerns about that because as nice as the product was, I think it was somewhat incomplete. One of the things I'm concerned about, if it's going to be a focus of justifying being in the golf business, was the economic impact statement. I think that was a bit exaggerated. If you look at that, most of the money would be spent whether somebody was golfing or not. I'm certain that guys that have got a tee time are not going to stop at the outlet mall on their way to tee time. So just a thought on that. A couple of voids in it. I think it should have considered either sale, lease, or privatization. And I know they addressed privatization for the pro shop, I think it was. But I think that's something that has to be looked at. And that's based on just my belief that government should not be in businesses that compete with the private sector. I like to bowl from time to time. I wouldn't come here and ask you that all the bowlers' needs be satisfied by putting up one or two bowling alleys in the county. And I wouldn't suggest that the Department of Public Works start bidding on landscaping contracts. Mr. Ellman, you'll thank me for that, I'm sure.
We do sell trees, and I've been against that for a long time.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Small stuff.
So whatever the process is that you're going to move ahead with to make decisions about the golf division, its financial troubles, I hope that part of that will just consider, do you need to be in that business, or is there an avenue to privatize lease so that the taxpayers are no longer in the business, competing with the private sector as well as, at this time, subsidizing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. It is 6:34. We'll move on to item number 6, the review of Chapter 5 for the Parks and Open Space Plan. Dave?
Hopefully everyone got a copy of Chapter 5. This is the last big chapter, anyway, the recommended park and open space plan. I'll just, if the committee's all right, I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights and then we can take questions. The plan has two basic elements, the open space element, which focuses on environmentally significant lands, lands within established project areas, recommendations in the in the natural areas plan. And map one shows the big picture there that shows all of the open space lands recommended for preservation of that. About 36% is already in public or public interest ownership or easements. And the plan would recommend another, the reds, yellows, and oranges and browns there. It's about another 11% be acquired. Most of those recommendations come out of the, at least many of them come out of the natural areas plan that was updated in 2009, and I think it was adopted by the county board. It's updated by a previous plan. And then the remaining 53%, the gray on that map, would be protected to the extent practical through land use regulations, either by the county or the particular local unit of government. Map two then kind of focuses on the environmental corridors, shows how those recommendations specific to the environmental corridors, consistent with the county's comp plan that calls for the preservation of the primary, secondary, and isolated natural resource areas. It's the same information on map one, but it just cuts it back to just the environmental corridors. Then map three is the natural areas, and it shows the specific recommendations for those. Table two, and this is the same information that was provided earlier in the inventory chapter. And then table two walks through each of those natural areas and how much is already protected. Of that, about 70 of the natural areas that are proposed for protection through some sort of acquisition, 75% of those are already in public or public interest ownership. And so the county's in pretty good shape there. A lot of it's already been acquired for preservation. The other part of the plan then is the outdoor recreation element. Map four shows the location of existing parks. The plan does not propose any new parks. It does recommend or contains a recommendation to consider expansion of West End Park. Most of this we discussed, I think we titled it preliminary plan recommendations at the previous meeting. So the only substantial acquisition, park related anyway, is expansion of West End Park. On that map, we also show the proposed recreation corridors that have been long proposed in even the earliest county plans for those majors. You know, the Lake Michigan one, the Kenosha County Trail already exists. And then there's proposals for the Des Plaines and the Pike Creek, Pike River, and the Fox that connect to adjacent trails in Racine County or actually to Illinois. They've got companion trails coming up from the south. In the table, we've got the details. Table three has got the details specific to the county park and corridor trails with the recommendations for detailed, where we had talked about that, detailed improvements. But we do put language throughout the text that talks about if other opportunities arise, either for acquisition of open space or for development of additional resource-oriented facilities, those should be considered. On table three, I'll note that West End Park, we've got development features there that I gleaned from the first part of the master plan for West End Park. And I add there that, as I understand anyway, there's still master planning continues for that park for specifics of what might be done there. So that would be refined in detail when that planning process is completed. I don't know what the schedule of that is. John, do you know what the schedule of that is?
We plan on bringing the full report to the committee in January.
I picked the things that looked like they were consensus recommendations out of this and put them in there as kind of placeholders for what would be there. And then lastly, with the trails, we also include, again, this comes right out of the comp plan, proposed water trail system along the Des Plaines Pike and Fox and along Lake Michigan. that recommends the consideration of development of water-based trails. Again, Racine proposes the same thing that comes down on those same rivers. In many cases, it's simply a matter of flagging, you know, mile markers or whatever, and where there's the nearest rest area or pull-out spot for those type of things. Independent of this effort, there's been a multi-state effort for Lake Michigan, for kayaking along Lake Michigan. Wisconsin has a group working on that, and they're close to finalizing recommendations for trail and trail facilities along Lake Michigan, identifying in detail where there's bathrooms, rest areas, camping, and that type of thing along Lake Michigan, all the way up to Green Bay. And lastly, for the high points here, map or table 4 has the cost summary for the acres of land to be acquired. Table 1 also had focused on the open spaces as a composite and shows the estimate through for the state, the county, local governments, and nonprofits for land acquisition be $19.8 million, and then development costs would total up to about $24.4 million. The DNR requires a capital element, so you have to put in an estimate. The land costs were based on data that I got from the Farm Service Agency and other documents I've worked at, which is footnoted on Table 1 that says, you know, assumes $3,000 per acre for wetlands, $10,000 an acre for woodlands, and $6,000 an acre for other open lands, which includes ag land. After I did this, I did receive data from the Department of Revenue, which has a, based on that, we have $7,600 for woodlands and $7,600 for other open lands. Domino effect would be that 19.8 would be about $1 million more based on those. As always, it plans, it's always willing seller, willing buyer, and there's a whole detailed appraisal thing that has to be done when you're acquiring lands, especially using stewardship monies, which in most cases, that's how much the land would cost, but no one would ever pay that because you'd have either donations, dedications, or you get stewardship money then to assist in acquisition. The land trusts don't buy anything without getting stewardship money. It's like going to Kohl's department store. You only go there when there's a sale. And that's the highlights. There's a lot of numbers and data in here.
Any questions from the committee for Dave at this time? I had some time to read through it this afternoon, comprehensive and you know, something that we can add to our package. Now, how many phases left do we have here?
After this, the only text review would be the summary chapter, which is nothing. It doesn't present anything new. However, as we've discussed before, I think we decided we hold some kind of a public, at this point now, we consider holding some kind of a public informational meeting, open house, where I'd have some of those maps on boards, and usually that's what everyone wants to look at, what the maps say, and we should probably do that. Kristen Lee with UW Extension, and works with the planning office, is really good at doing that type of thing, so she'd be a resource, I think. If she's available, she's available. To set up a meeting place and get notices out, send notices to newspapers and whoever. And you'd have 6 to 8 at night probably or something like that. 2 hours, maybe you'd have some kind of, you wouldn't have to, but maybe there'd be some formal presentation after people can mill around and look at the maps and ask questions. Maybe you have a short presentation on the plan, why you're doing it, what are the steps we've gone through, and then answer questions.
And what's our time frame to have this completed?
We could the heavy lifting is done now.
When do we have to have this submitted?
There's no time frame for having it submitted. It goes after you're happy with it, then it would go to the county board. They'd probably hold a public hearing. So the board hold a public hearing, does the committee hold a public hearing?
I think it probably would go to the Planning Development and Extension Education Committee, and then we wouldn't have a public meeting that evening.
You're not actually required to have a public hearing if you have a group like this reviewing it with DNR standards anyway. A group like this reviewing it and a public information meeting, you satisfy what the DNR requires. But I think the thought is that this would be treated as an amendment to the county comprehensive plan, then you have to have a public hearing.
Right.
At some point. Now that could be after we publish the report and the planning staff could decide to have a public hearing on that as part of their normal annual the planning department does a formal county update once a year
with
the comp plan, and you might. I think the thought was that you could package this along with the Parkland Preservation Plan, and have those both taken at the same time to a formal public hearing, then to be as amendments. So,
but what I'm asking is, we have to do this in order to be able to apply for grants,
right?
And we're doing it this year because there's a specific time frame. What's that specific time frame that we have to have this to the state or?
Well, you have to have a plan adopted by May 1st. Is that the magic date for? Is May 1st usually the magic date for stewardship grants for the current round?
I couldn't answer that. I really don't know if that's the exact date.
It's either May or June.
Sure. Yeah. Most of the budget grants are.
So if the committee's good with this, then we have that public informational meeting, and we could hold that in January.
Well, I think we should, since we don't.
And then come back to this committee in February and finish up the work,
right.
and then we could determine how the county board. I know some county boards, if it's sent along in draft from a committee, they'll consider adoption before it's a final printed report. And what we want—that's kind of the way I'd like to go, because then we can include the adoption resolution from the county board right in the printed document.
Right. Well, I'm sure the county board will approve what this committee would approve, and that would just be on a resolution that on the county board floor. We wouldn't have to have a formal presentation to the county board.
Right.
We'd have a public hearing on it. All I'm asking is that we do this in a timely enough fashion. But you're not sure what dates we have to even have this approved by?
To be eligible, I'm not sure exactly what date it is for the next go-around. I can find that out, certainly.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to meet that. If this goes to a public information meeting in January, and I come back with whatever comments I hear at those public information meetings, along with the summary chapter,
right,
to this committee in February, well, then we go right into the... It would take nothing to create, if we had to have a draft, full draft document to be able to provide to whoever at the county, we can do that pretty quickly, and we'd start the printing process, and that moves right along. So we'd be able to, no doubt, have it sent to the DNR, the right DNR person, Jim Ritchie is the guy now, have it to him to throw holy water on in time to meet that grant set.
Well, I guess if we don't know when this has got to be in by, we better move quickly then.
And that date, last year I knew they, with the budget and stuff, he put a hold on that stewardship money and kind of delayed it a little bit too last year. But I think it's typically May 1st.
What do you think, John?
Well,
I can't believe none of you know.
They sort of grandfathered us in since we were working on the plan.
Yes.
But I don't know the exact...
That's true. You're eligible. Even if they don't have this, you're still eligible on your old,
right,
whatever recommend in your old plan, because you have interim eligibility as you work with us.
Okay, that's good to know. Any questions from the committee? Yeah. So I guess as quickly as you would want to set up a public hearing on it. Oh, John, would you do that as far as the timing, or who would be?
Do it with probably with planning and development, and we'll be able to make you get that done.
Okay.
As we have in the previous chapters, I'd like a motion to approve this chapter in its draft form.
Right. Ready?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor O'Day. Any second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisor Gentz. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So there we are. We're approved, and thank you very much.
One more thing. Everyone should have got this table in their packet with, that we agreed to put together for public beaches on the various lakes in the county. Not that it needs any discussion. I made additional comments and added a couple sites based on like, my community comments. One was actually a new beach. Seal Beach, I think, was the new one that we didn't have at all. And then a couple have been renamed.
And was that in with your regular staple portion here?
No, it was a separate sheet.
Okay.
We don't need to take any action. I just want to make sure we've got this.
I'll find that way there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we will move on. It's, keep looking at the time here, 6:53. We'll move on to facilities, which will include an update on the courthouse parking structure, Brookside Demo Project, Corporation Council, Detention Center exterior doors, and Detention Center plumbing.
Skip number seven.
I guess we'll do item number seven. Same time for the fee structure. Who's going to do that?
The fees. The only thing that changed on the whole fee structure is on the sheet that you have with reservations. The only thing I changed there was I had to eliminate the green space, which is a picnic area of pets that we used to rent out, not a lot, but maybe I think we rented it 5 times last summer because the bike path went right straight through it and cut it in half. So we eliminated that. As far as all the entry fees for the dog parks, for the swimming beaches, for windsurfing, boat launching, we left all those fees the same. The only thing I changed on the proposed page is the dates for the new year. But there was no increases. So there's very few changes. Really the big change was is we did away with that green space of pets. It's no longer reservable.
Any questions or discussion? If not, we'll take a motion to approve these rates for the 2012 season.
I'll move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Gentz to approve the proposed rates, seconded by Supervisor Grady. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You can govern.
Aye.
Approved. Now we'll move on to the facilities. 6:55.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Martinelli is not here tonight. So you put together this before we took off. Basically, the update of the courthouse, if anybody's seen it in the last week or two, I know we'll have a meeting tomorrow night. The only scaffolding that remains up on the building at this point is the scaffolding that allows them to get to the top of the roof. I believe just about everything else is removed at both the Molinaro and the courthouse. From a percentage standpoint, the parapet wall restoration up above is 100% complete. The actual wall restoration on the courthouse is 95% complete. Roofing is probably a bit more than 85% complete right now. South stairs is now about 90%. Molinaro, as you can see, is just about complete as well. Let's see, a couple other notes I was going to... Down. The courtyard did open up the day before Thanksgiving, so the judges are back parking in the courtyard. They still, the east end of the court courtyard, if you want to call it, from the east side of Molinero is still closed off because there's construction trailers there. But those should be out by the end of January. Right now, it appears that they're on track. Barring anything really strange happening with the weather, they should be completely out of there by the 16th, with the exception of the construction trailers. So they're in the home stretch. Employment reflects that. The numbers are down. They're down to 17 workers now. So the bulk of them are from Wisconsin, a handful of guys from Illinois. But it's basically in the home stretch as far as the shell itself goes. We still would anticipate having to do the lighting and the landscaping in spring. The goal was just to get everything buttoned up, make everything weather tight, complete all the exterior stuff. They're working on skylights on the roof right now. Now that I'm thinking about it, but it's considered part of the roof. But really, the goal was to get all the building work done so that we just have to do landscaping and lighting come spring. So it looks like we're pretty well there. It was looking a little nip and tuck in early October, but they made up some ground in the last month or so. That's pretty much it.
Question?
East stairs, they're all complete, are they done?
The east stairs are not done. The stairs themselves are pretty much done. They still got to put the railings up, and then there's some finish work. There's some finish work on the sides of the stairs that they've got to do. They weren't aesthetically that good before. They just smeared some concrete, and we want to make that look a little bit nicer on the edges of the stairs, and then install the railings. So those are not functional at this point. The ramp, I think we're using the ramp because we used it. I don't know, the Corps counseling. But that's about it on the east side.
So what's the idea when they'll be all finished up? And
They should have that stuff done before the end of the month, because the stuff that's scheduled for January is really the first two weeks in January is pretty much clean up, taking down stuff, disassembling and stuff like that. So they should be done with both the south stairs and the east stairs before the end of the month.
Yeah, I got a question. When is our tentative walkthrough plan on this thing? You know, punch list type deal. I'm sure this has been a big issue, and warranties have been a big issue. We've pushed to do this. I'm assuming this is going to take place in January.
January 16th should be, if that should be the final day. We should have, I would say, a punch list would be prepared by the 16th, and we'd probably then do a punch list through the end of the month. And like I say, if there is stuff, even if there's stuff that's determined as a result of the punch list, that weather and incumbent kind of stuff, we probably finish that up then as part of the landscape and the lighting that we do in springtime. But I don't anticipate a lot of stuff, because as they've uncovered issues, be it with the stairs or the roof, they've pretty much addressed them as they've come up.
Well, and we're 85% complete with the roof, roughly?
85% plus, I would say. Because really the roof itself is pretty well, it's just some of the work up there. I know the skylights, they're reconstructing the skylight, what would you call it, like the atrium over the skylights right now. Have you brought this week or last week? I know they were working on both, I think, two atriums for the skylights.
Yes. Yeah, they're working on the one over Judge Schrader's courtroom. And then
so the roof itself was pretty well buttoned up. They were doing a ceiling, I know, along the parapet edges, around the perimeter, but the actual deck is done, per se. So, yeah, anybody wants to take a tour of anything, it's a bit nippy up there, but it's pretty interesting, too. It would definitely be worth people's time to check it out. If it makes sense, committee-wise, or if we do it next spring after everything's done, it's
something. Are we all going to go up there?
And it's pretty interesting. It's very interesting, actually. You'd see a lot of. They had to put a new floor drain in, or a new roof drain, I should say, that so the now water will flow around the, or it won't have to flow around an HVAC unit. And there's a number of things that it's pretty impressive. I don't think you'd be bored. Something to consider.
Any other questions on the courthouse in Mount Airy building? That will move on to the other items with the parking structure. What's that incorporated?
Yep, parking structure, I'll take that one. Parking structure, we've got a contract with Mead and Hunt, tentatively approved, and it's at the DOT now. It has to go through their review process, and then they have to sign off on it first. Mead and Hunt would be the engineering firm that's going to help us do the engineering design for the gate installation, the lights, and the security. We're actually, even though to me it's a long, drawn-out bureaucratic process, we're about a month ahead. We expect to have actually word back this week. That is the word I got from, I checked with our contact at DAR, the engineering firm that the state uses to review these things, and she said that we should hear word back this week that the contract should be signed. So we're getting there, slowly but surely. The only other thing that's changed in the parking structure, there was a, just so the committee's aware, there was requests made by a number of administrators as well as county board supervisors to expand the number of reserve spots that we had in there. There was a total of 10, I think, we had in there, 10 spots that have been reserved, could be reserved by a commuter or by someone from county staff or anybody. I think the fee is $50 a month. That's been in place for since it opened, basically. But there was a request to have more. We expanded it, so now there's about 29 spots total available because there was a lot of requests. But that was with the caveat that all this gets revisited when we develop some type of a policy for what we're going to charge once we get the gates in place.
But they're paying now.
Yes. As of actually, we made them available as of December today, December 5th. The signs Ron told me just came in today, so we're going to put those up. And then I know that Terry Jacobson is the one that's taking the request, but she said she had 9 people on a waiting list, so I would expect at least 9 of them to have been reserved already.
And there's a fee structure in place, and someone is collecting the money.
She collects it. It's $50 a month, and it's on a month-to-month basis now because, like I say, we're probably going to change everything around once we get the gates in place.
Good.
As far as how that works, Ray, is that good for all 7 days of the week, 24 hours a day, or how is the structure?
I believe that the rental is for 7 days a week. Okay, I wasn't sure of that.
24/7.
It is 24/7. But I know that you're not allowed to leave vehicles in there. You can't rent it like some people have required to rent it and then store a vehicle there. That's not allowed. So I don't believe you can keep them there more than 48 hours at one stretch. I believe that's what's been in place.
But if it's yours, it's yours.
Right. If it's your spot, there shouldn't be anybody else parking in it.
Who polices that?
Actually, it works out that the folks in the building, the ones that reserve them, police it. And if I get a phone call from them that somebody they recognize isn't appropriate, and they pay attention, I get a phone call, I call the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department runs a plate. They contact the person. If it's a first offense, they just talk to them and give them a warning ticket. Otherwise, they get tagged. And we have had people towed.
Anything else on the parking structure?
No, that's pretty much it.
Brookside demo.
The project is 80 to 85% completed. We hope to have it done by the end of next week. That will include all the removal of the old building and backfilling. They won't be able to plant grass or anything until next spring. They will not be able to do any of the alternates this year. That will include the parking lot and the sidewalks going over to Brookside Care Center. So again, that will have to be done probably in late March, early April. There was a little speed bump for the construction company. Somebody turned him into the Department of Workforce Development for a prevailing wage violation. They were found to be in violation, and DWD has asked us to withhold $2,396.40 from their final payment to settle the fine.
I'll give a little more information. Maceman is the contractor for the demo. We actually got the notification last week, Tuesday or Wednesday. We got the official notification that their initial, they kind of couch it in a way that gives them a little wiggle room. The Department of Workforce Development, they do their investigation. There was a claim made by a former employee, as best as we can figure. They claim that they weren't paid the prevailing wage. Their initial assessment was because there was a lack of documentation. Maceman, if anyone's familiar with them, they're a Racine-based company family-owned. Have done public projects in Kenosha, Racine, southeastern Wisconsin, northeastern Illinois for decades. Have never had a violation. But this case, when they went to do their investigation, they really didn't have a lot of documentation for what it is, how they handle their payroll practices. And the initial determination was that they found them to be in violation of the law. They have till December 16th to appeal that to the Workforce Development Department, which they're going to do, and we'll see what happens from there. Maceman doesn't seem real concerned about it.
No.
If you read the decision, I would be concerned if I was him, because he quotes on a lot of public work.
But $2,000 doesn't seem like a lot unless we've paid them in full.
No.
Okay, yeah. So when you say we're 80-85%, and a lot of this is going to be in spring, do we have a schedule of payments then?
Right. We had three payments scheduled, not counting the if we did the ad alternates, because those would be separate in addition to that. But the third payment would be scheduled for like the end of this month. And that's the one we still have. We're holding plenty to be able to hold not only this, but we're going to hold a percentage because they're not complete with the base contract. They're going to have the building removed, like Ron said, in the next couple weeks. They're going to have everything backfilled, rough graded, but it's not going to be finished graded, seated, and then the ad alternates for fixing up the parking lot and putting the sidewalk in. That's not going to be done.
So we would keep a substantial amount. We wouldn't, when you say that we're 85% complete, or we will be by that, we wouldn't pay up to 85% then.
I think we were going to hold 7% off.
We were originally going to hold 7 or 10% off the base contract, plus the ad alternate stuff completely. But now in light of this, we're going to hold for sure the initial 7% plus this amount, and we actually may go back and withhold even more. I wrote Carol a note once we got the determination. She said she checked out and she found out that even if they do get on appeal, lose their appeal, that we can still use them to finish the base contract if we want to do that. And we can actually use them to finish the whole job with the ad alternates if we want to. That even if they're found guilty, that won't disbar them from doing that. It would disbar them, though, from doing stuff going forward.
And what was the total cost of the project?
$286,000.
So if we hold 10%, we're talking $28,000. Would $28,000, I've got some reasons for asking these questions, would $28,000 be enough to complete restoration? Because you're saying all they'll have next to do in the spring is seeding and topsoiling and all.
Right.
Would $28,000 be a logical price for that work, or are we going to overpay here this winter?
No, that should be in excess of what's going to be left to do. Because it's just literally going to be, it's going to be the finish grading and the seating on the base contract. That's all that's left on the base contract. Right. Everything else will be done.
See, sometimes that's big. I'm asking because I'm just on a road project near where I live. They've paid 95% of the project, and they've got a mess. So, you know, you've got 5% left in the spring. And nobody in their right mind would go in there for that percent, you know, if it doesn't work out properly. So
I'm pretty comfortable. I mean, I welcome the chairman. I mean, you're familiar with this stuff, to take a look at the footprint if you get a chance to drive by.
I've never, since I've been on the county board, got involved in that kind of stuff. I'm just asking because I know sometimes, especially in government, because it's not really the responsibility of the people paying the bills to worry about it. We just say, okay, 95% complete, and we pay up to that. You know, then you've got the elected officials sitting there holding a bag, you know,
right.
And there's 5% left money, and there's a whole lot more work to do.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with what's left on the base contract. And like I say, the alternate stuff isn't even, that stays in the pot until we decide what we're going to do.
And the only reason I ask these questions is you said that they had this question. You know, and when there's a question, that's...
Yeah, I'm comfortable telling the committee that we've got enough, we're going to hold enough back that if, worst case scenario, this guy gets found in violation, they go belly up, that we're going to have enough money left that we can go back out and have the work to finish the grading and seeding.
Right.
We'll have enough money for that.
One other question along with that, then. You were saying that if you prefer to utilize them as contract to contractor to finish the project you get, and also utilize them to do the alternates, does this type of procedure against the contractor enable the county to basically walk? I mean, not that they would in this case, but from a contractual standpoint, could the county walk and say, you know, we're just done with you?
Yeah, I haven't asked that question yet. What Carol told me, the purchasing agent, was that we can still use them to complete the project, the base project, as well as the ad alternates, if we so desire. I haven't asked the flip side yet if we want to terminate. From our end, they've been a good contractor to work with.
Right, and that's not the easy point. To work just, with. I'd like to know for future reference, yeah. If this ever came up, is that considered breach of contract? You could actually, you know, for some reason.
It's one of the things I got to ask
court counsel.
It's a
question for another day. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to Corporation Council.
Corp Council, the remodeling there was completed pretty much within about a week of when it was originally projected. Let me see my notes on that. They moved in the week of November 7th through the 11th. That was pretty much that whole week they used to move stuff over. The 14th, that Monday the 14th, they were in the new digs in the garden level of the courthouse, fully functioning. There's still some individual files and some odds and ends furniture that they'd like moved over from the building, which we're going to try to do in the next week or two. And then there's actually a substantial amount of files that are going to remain over there until we complete. If you remember when we went in, we looked in that back server room, the old server room, and there's still some state servers in there, but the goal is to get those, actually the money is budgeted to move those into a smaller room, open that room up, and then we will be able to accommodate all the files that are over at Corp Council, bring them over and store them back in that old server room. That's the intent to do that in 2012. The other piece with the old Corp Council building that we're working on is the Historical Society has a significant amount of stuff there yet in the basement. I know Supervisor O'Day knows, as well as some on the first floor. We're looking at another home for that to get that, because the goal is to get that building emptied out of everything that's ours and figure out some way to get it on the market in 2012. So that's the goal.
Just a question as it pertains to the records. There was some initiative to take a lot of paper and put it on computer type thing. Is this the same project? Am I confusing that with something else?
You're thinking probably the DA's office.
Okay.
The DA's office, which we did have, it is budgeted for next year to start, at least it draws a line in the sand. They're going to start a project that's going to start scanning and electronically storing documents going forward. There's no money at this point to get the system to go back and get the stuff that's causing us the storage problems right now. But still, if they can staunch the bleeding and you stop the creation of stuff going forward, that's going to be a big start. And I think they'll get comfortable with the concept of having electronic documents, which is pretty radical for the legal system. Then once that's in place, we should be able to get this stuff, start to work on the archive, and the Corp Counsel's office will be the same thing. So much.
Supervisor Esposito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ray, what do we got planned on? I mean, I wonder if we could get something, a structure of a timetable to clear this stuff out so we can get this target to get this building on the market in spring. My major concern is, while we're waiting for the historicals, we're waiting for this now, we're next August, and now we're rolling, and we're holding on to this property longer than we have to. I mean, and number two, I mean, obviously we're keeping heat in the building. Are we going to winterize this building? Are we not? Are we going to keep it at 50 degrees? I mean, it's all viable income that we're paying for nothing. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'll answer the second question first. We will be able to take it down to probably around 50 degrees. We're going to less than what if there's humans in there. Mm-hmm. But we still got to keep it at that temp to maintain the plaster and stuff so nothing degrades inside the house. So that's the answer to that. With the first question, yeah, just to let you know, we can set up a time frame for that stuff. We started looking last summer at options for them to move that stuff out, the Historical Society, to get stuff out of there. We looked initially at Kemper. We were hoping that there would be something over there, but because that stuff needs to be environmentally controlled so it doesn't degrade, there really was nothing at Kemper. They had the physical space, but not that was environmentally controlled. So we just actually today, Ron was looking, we had the idea to look in the basement of the Anderson House. Since we know that the Anderson House is going to be, you know, part of the portfolio going forward, is there space? And there's actually potentially, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but the first looks pretty darn good. The basement has an incredible amount of space down there. It appears to be dry. We'd have to run humidifiers in the summertime, but as far as monitoring the temperatures, it's pretty moderate. So we wouldn't have to do anything. So we're looking at, we got a couple things that might work out for us here, but if we could set a specific time frame for, I mean, we can list it on the agenda going forward, the kind of the game plan for the Corp Council, decommissioning the Corp Council building so we can get it up for sale, because the two pieces will be that, the storage, getting that stuff out of there, and then getting the IT servers moved so we can get the Corp Council stuff out of there. And I know that's high on Marty's list in IT to get those servers out of there, because there's a lot of miscellaneous IT wiring and stuff that needs to be cleaned up as part of that as well. Okay. So
I'm good with that as long as it's all right, Chairman.
Oh, yeah.
Then we can put it, just have it as a and just do a status update like we do with these other
projects. Correct. I just like to keep to the forefront, because you know what, otherwise it's sometimes things get pushed back, and we're talking about this next fall, and, you know, I just think I'm trying to maximize our time frame.
The
condition that that house is in, the only way to sell it quickly is a fire sale. Whether it's empty or not is going to be kind of irrelevant. Because of the any addition to the building, is going to be a real difficult thing in the future going forward too. But the window conditions are atrocious in that building. I don't know what the inside is going to look like after they're done, but that's kind of whatever. But based on what's down there for sale now, anywhere in the Allendale area or anywhere else, even closer to the Simmons Library or anything, nothing is selling. If it goes over anything, 350, 400,000 and over, anywhere in the Third Avenue, the stuff is, if you look on the market, how long it's been on there, it's not hard to get that information. It's been on the market a long time. Everything on Third Avenue that's for sale, it's going to be a long haul before that gets sold, in my estimation. But yeah. And I would look really careful at putting the stuff that's in the third floor attic into a basement, unless it's particularly climate controlled in that respect.
Yeah, well, like I say, this was just today, but we're going to investigate it further. But the initial impressions were pretty positive, so we're going to keep drilling into that to see where we go.
Would you have Tom involved in that?
Oh, yeah.
Did he look at it, too?
He hasn't looked at it yet, because Ron just went over. We just talked about it in the last couple of weeks.
Thanks. So.
And I can appreciate that, but I'm just saying, sooner you can get on the market, it only takes one person to buy a house, and who knows where you're at. I would just rather, in spring, if we can get this thing up and rolling, who's to say what can happen? Why prolong the process if we don't have to? That was my point. Thank you.
So we'll put it on our agenda, C's one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Move on to detention center.
The exterior door project's moving along. There were 24 frames that were cut out on both sides of the door. They were cut out about 20 inches up, and new bottom plates were welded in. That work is complete. Three doors were sanded and welded in place and repaired in place. One door has been replaced, and we still have 20 doors that are remaining to be replaced. This does not include the painting. I don't know if they'll be able to get the painting done anymore this year or not.
And you get all the concrete.
The concrete work was done right away in early fall. So the approaches to all the doors were reboard and have a very good slope on them to get the water and the salt away from the building.
The doors are primed, I would assume?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Just, I don't know, with it being as cold as it is now, if they're going to be able to paint them, but they are primed.
So then we have the isolation plumbing.
Isolation plumbing, That project is complete. On the domestic side, we had 18 valves that were replaced. On the HVAC side, we had 18 valves also that were replaced. That took a little longer because those valves, it's cast iron pipe, all the valves were welded in place. It enabled us to isolate the building into four zones, so we no longer have to drain the whole building if something goes wrong. For those of you that listened to the news or read the paper, we had a hazmat situation last week. An elbow gave out on the heating system. Two of my guys were scalded by the hot water. Because we had the new isolation valves put in down the hallway from where this leak was, we were able to isolate that end of the building rather quickly, and we only lost about 8 barrels of glycol. So it really saved us. The building holds about 40 barrels. So it really, really saved us.
I'll update on the physical end of that, too, because I talked with the chairman the next day. Basically, there were two guys, as Ryan indicated. Right. One guy was up on a ladder about 12 foot, and one guy was down below. The guy that was down below, Dave, had gotten some minor burns. They still took him to St. Cat's to check him out, but he was back to work that night. And Brian, that was up on the ladder, had fallen, and he has sustained first and some second-degree burns on his back. Thankfully, that was the extent of it. He didn't break anything or sprain anything when he took the 12-foot fall, and he's not a small gentleman. Bottom line is he was in the hospital. That was Tuesday afternoon that happened. He was released Thursday afternoon, so he's been home. I don't know if we got an update as to when. I know they don't want him to return until this heals up more so he doesn't get any
infection. He goes to see the doctor in 10 days from last Thursday, and he's hoping to return to work then.
So just so the committee's aware.
So we're very fortunate.
Very fortunate. Yes. Very fortunate. And it was fortunate that we had that isolation valve in place, because if that event had happened 6 weeks prior, we would have emptied out the entire system. That simple.
Anything else on facilities?
I have a question. I don't know if it's a facility thing or not. The along Anderson Arts Center, where the wall was.
Oh,
is that your?
Yeah, we were going to bring it up under parks.
Is that
but that's
parks?
Fine. Yeah.
You got it.
The wall.
You talk about it.
Yeah.
Later. We'll move on.
Yeah. One further comment about facilities. We had said that we would revisit the energy savings, or at least what we consider to be the energy savings, on the remodelization of the safety building. We've been doing that, you know, at least once or twice a year. So if memory serves, we're looking at, I think it comes due again January, February, so I just want to make sure that we keep up with that and have it.
Good memories.
In the plan.
Because it is January, that's when it's...
That. 1 to 2 months.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So move on to new business for Gulf Highway and Parks at 7:23.
In your packet, I included, I just received the September Pringle Center minutes. I also included a copy of a letter that we sent to Kemper requesting the quarterly reports. And we did receive one, but it's a little bit hard to read. It's not real detailed. And Jim Cuckfer is going to actually meet with Kemper's accountant and break that down. They didn't break out. They listed dollar amounts. They didn't break out exactly what portion of that was county money, which of it was donations or other monies that Kemper had. So Jim's just going to work with them to get that detail a little bit more for you so we can see where exactly that everything has been spent at. And it went back quite a ways, much about to 04.
Yep.
The report went all the way back to 2004. The update on the Pep's bike path. The paving is finished. It looks real good. It's very popular out there. The only thing left is the contractor will have to come back in next spring and do the final restoration and the seating alongside of it, because there's going to be settling and everything. But it took all the folks off the road. It was great. I mean, people love it. They were walking on it when it was gravel, even before it was paved. So it was a big improvement. The update on the dam, the bridge, or the dam removal, the bridge, and the roadway project at Pence. The bids should be ready to go out and be bid out early in 2012. The DNR, one of their, I don't know if I want to call it a recommendation, but it's more than more likely a demand, is that we don't start work until May 15th on the dam removal because of flows in the river and some of the spring fish spawning runs in there. But anyways, that's going, moving right along. And then Rupert Milkey is the engineering firm that is doing the design and engineering on the roadway and the parking lot reconstructions at Pets. And there, we've had a couple of meetings with them, and they're at the point now where they're going to get started on the design work itself. With that project, it looks like in the CIP, the main road and the parking lots will be done in 2012, and the Hill Road in 2013.
The question, John, do the engineering firms get paid on a percentage of the project, or how do they get paid?
No, that's more of a...
Well, they'll typically bill monthly as the project is going, and they keep track of how close they are, 25%, and so forth. And then I usually have them break it out so that it's hours worked and tasks accomplished, so that we know exactly what and which staff, so that hourly rates are charged against specific people. And so, and then each month, like the KD Park, the master plan, each month we get an invoice, and then it tells where they're at as far as percentage towards completion and what the actual hours billed for that month were.
Do they estimate the job?
Yeah, we do an estimate up front, time and materials not to exceed, and then we work off that. And nothing can be increased without going back for a, you know, some type of formal action.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Kemper, the wall at the Anderson Arts Center, the west wall was taken down to about, it looks like it's probably close to the mark that they had asked to stop. It was about 26 foot from the driveway right by the transformer. That one section of wall was real; it was very loose, and we were fortunate enough to have a mason down in Gary's shop that went over there and repaired that end of the wall where the demolition stopped, and put that back together.
What's the mason?
That's the landscape work, and that I think Kemper wants to do the shrubbery, but the Parks Department will go over, and we're leaving that footing that runs along the sidewalk because of the change in elevation from the sidewalk to the yard. So we'll fill in along the sides of that and dress that up this spring.
I was going to say that if anybody hasn't seen it since those two houses are out of there and the wall's out now, mm-hmm. it just radically yeah. changes yeah. that look for a few blocks, really, as you're driving, much cleaner.
I have a question, John. The Kemper Center in their winter mailings and in their advertising for the Christmas season and things, they've had some fundraising things in for replacement of trees. I don't know if you've seen that. They're asking for funds.
Yeah.
You know. Now, when we get to that point, we want to make sure that we have control of this. The reason I'm saying this is there was a whole lot made of the plight at the time of that storm. But having been in the business I'm in for 40-some years, most of the agony and anxiety that was spilled out there was over these beautiful native trees and stuff. But none of it was native stuff. This was stuff that they haphazardly let people donate to those grounds. And if you're looking at it from a true perspective of a landscape architect or designer, or a horticulturist, we need to involve either our extension people or other professionals and not let the Kemper Center willy-nilly let people donate $400 and here we'll stick this tree and this tree and this tree. Because when I went there after the storm, I looked around and thought, man, a lot of this was done poorly in the first place. Yeah, the old stuff that we lost, yes, that was there in the 1800s, but a lot of this other stuff was... And I know John's aware of this, but
great.
I just want to have it on record here that we are in some control of this.
That's actually very helpful because John sits on the Building and Grounds Committee for Kemper, And that's one of the slippery fish that we've been, you know, there has, because nothing's happened yet, and you voiced that concern. And we've had Barb Larson from UW Extension take a peek at stuff as well, because we're very sensitive to that. But there's a few folks on that building and grounds board that are pretty headstrong. And so having a formal thing in the minutes about this will be helpful to John on that committee.
Well, nobody should put a shovel in the ground on County Park land until we okay it.
Right. And I think what Supervisor Orban is saying is we should have, if you want to call it a master arborist plan or some type of thing in place before any dirt is turned, just so that we are doing this in an orchestrated manner rather than haphazard. And we're not opposed to taking funds. We just want the funds to be used appropriately and in a, you know, a proper setting.
Yes. Yeah, I know John is very aware of it, mm-hmm. but, you know, all things can get out of control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stuff starts happening before
right.
you know.
Yeah, right.
Dennis, can they blame us and say if they get into a box with an argument with them and say, hey, it's got to go through your committee. That's it. Period.
Well, certainly. Yeah.
So pass a resolution if necessary.
Good cop, bad cop, or whatever it is.
I don't think we need to pass a resolution, but John needs to know that he's got backup.
Yeah, and,
right.
You know,
you got the committee support.
Right.
Whatever
that's worth. Well, I know you two have guns already, so.
We don't carry these buildings, really.
I got one in the truck. Probably two.
And the roof repairs from a storm, it's been kind of a long, drawn-out process. The consultant did finish the specifications, and they were just recently passed to purchasing, who's putting their boilerplate into them and hoping to get those out for bids shortly.
Can you comment to us on how the repairs to Anderson have been holding up and what the situation is with that? We had the patching or temporary repair done to Anderson.
I have not heard of that.
The temporary patches that we did seem to have done the trick. We haven't had any leaking there at all.
A lot of wind and a lot of rain. You know, if it was ever going to
bad. Bad.
And we haven't seen nobody. When we've checked, it's been dry, and nobody has complained about any leaks or anything.
Good.
So it appears to have done the trick. It's only a temporary 3 to 4 year fix.
Okay. And then just back to our cuts with the paving. Is that going to be the main road at all the parking lots, the golf parking lot included, all the parking lots are cuts scheduled for 2012?
All six of them in the park. The one up on JR we're not doing.
Okay.
And then the hill road from the flagpole again, that's a whole separate year to do from the flagpole up to the golf course.
Oh, on the north end.
So it is the complete road from A to JR.
Okay. And that's the better part of a construction season to do all that, or how long will that take with the estimate? Is that the better part of a construction season to do all that?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like it's May to September, probably.
It's going to be a challenge. We're going to start to get into it because we want to keep access to the park open. You don't want to do that at the expense of, if you do too much phasing, it's going to increase the cost of the overall project. So we don't have enough, they're not at that point yet to have those kind of detailed discussions, but we're going to have those to figure out what's going to be the best way to skin the cat.
We're scrambling to try and determine if we're going to be able to have all our pavilions open for rentals. So,
any other questions or discussion from Mr. Rudy? Then I have one. Oh, you mentioned the dam. I saw the dam on this other thing. Going down Highway KD today. I know we had to, because they told us we had to put up a sign that said dam on our bank there. But it's sitting at like a 45. I was going to stop it, and I don't know how they stuck it in. Maybe we can get it straight anyway. Because people have said, you got a sign there that says dam, and there's no dam. I said, there is. States that we had to put up, well, they said, well, at least straighten it out. So I looked today and it's sitting like that.
I'll have Nick straighten it.
And the only other thing I know we'll have our final plan from the consultants for the KD Park, but this would be a separate thing that this committee's talked about. Where are we on the fish habitat for that park? Are we anywhere on the our program for fish habitat?
No.
stock in?
We're still right. You know, there's no way I can do an evaluation. I had looked to have the DNR do that survey. Well, right, they found that we put it into a fish farm. They walked away from this whole thing.
Right.
So, you know, if we're going to do that someplace along the line, we'll have to have somebody independent come out and survey that lake and give us recommendations as to how to manage it.
Right. Okay.
One other thing about KD, we'd had some informal discussions in the past about during the winter season about the possibility of opening up once, twice, whatever, for some type of cross-country skiing event if the conditions were favorable, you know, if the trails were in decent shape to handle it. Are you still thinking along those possibilities of having a limited amount of usage in KD for cross-country skiing?
We haven't set any specific dates for anything. I think the only thing, I don't know if he's called it recently, but I know that they intend to have another telescope thing in, I thought in December, actually.
Start a party.
The cross-country thing, we haven't set any specific dates, but yeah, we definitely are, that would be fine to have a cross-country twilight thing or something like that.
I think, and if I remember serious, I think we had a conversation with the county exec, and he seemed to be, you know, agreeable to that, so I'd like to pursue that to its logical conclusion if we can, and maybe talk about it at our next meeting. Mr. Chairman, do you have any comment on that?
Well, no, I know that I hear from the community there all the time that they'd like to have, you know, more access. And now that you brought up that star party, I'll tell you, I really got chewed out about that last star party. And someone that found out about it and said, county taxpayers can't use that park, and people from Lake County are coming up and using it on a Saturday night. So I think if we're going to do that again, we should open that thing up that day.
Oh.
To the county taxpayers, people that have paid for the park, put a sign up. I know John said we lost a sign, make a new one. But I heard from that, I heard about that from more than one person, as they heard about that being out there that evening, and it's not even Kenosha County residents. So we got to be sensitive to those
things.
So, anything else on parks? We will move on at 7:38 to we've got to do this now for the.
How are those glasses working?
I didn't need it.
Oh.
I was going to bring my satellite phone in where I just pushed the button. About the activities for adults.
Well, for the 2011 season, we did finish about 10% in rounds down over last year. I have attached to your minutes, or to your memo there, the golf playable hours, the industry scorecard, and it does show that we were down in our area 13%, which is the second worst across the United States for golf playable hours. So we beat that a little bit, but still, I wish I had better news for you. But we worked diligently to control the expenses and improve the revenue per player. So, you know, I think that, you know, we'll find out in a couple months where actually we end up with revenue, but I believe it'll be better than last year, so substantially so. Our golf communication committee met for the second time back in October, and we went over ways to bring the golf course news and events more positive publicity. We also will be asking them to keep bringing ideas to help improve the golf courses for the good of all golfers, and we will be meeting again early next year. So that's the plans with the Golf Communications Committee. The projects that we started at, we're all at Brightondale. We had all of the FEMA paving done. We had 2 miles about done. 1 mile was on the red, and about two-thirds was on the white, and a third was on the blue. And that all turned out very well. We also installed a new exhaust hood. The exhaust hood looks wonderful. I mean, you can see it as soon as you walk past the wall where the bathrooms are out of the golf shop, and you can see the nice stainless steel hood, and I really think that that'll bring more attention to our food and beverage operations, and I think that with the new equipment that we put in there, the char broiler, and we'll have a more tasty and a more variety on our menu. So I'm hoping that really gives us good positives for next year in our food and beverage parts. The roof materials were replaced on the clubhouse. We did the flat roofs earlier this year, and we stopped any of the leaking. We did all the shingled areas. It did start in middle of October, and then it was got delayed for the weather, and now we have finally completed the roofing project there, and it looks very nice. They did a good job. When we were doing the roofing project, we did run into asbestos, like tar paper underneath the shingles, and so we did have an additional charge of $4,300 to had a change order to remove that asbestos. They came in, they sheeted all the insides so that where they were ripping off the tar paper, nothing could come through the planking of the roof, and so they got all that done, and that went well, and now it looks very well. The other things that we have done was we did put in the new wells, the pavilion in Brightondale Park, and then also in the clubhouse. The pavilion went in without a hitch, went down 151 feet, and we got 25 gallons per minute. Went real well. Then we got to the clubhouse and had to drill two holes, 180 feet. They couldn't find water. Then they finally took the second hole, and they had to drill through the limestone, and they did find good water, 50 gallons a minute, right down 192 feet. So they went another 12 feet and got good water there. So, and plus they reconfigured all the well down in the golf maintenance area, and that's all working well now too. So those are the projects that we did. As far as the Carthage College report, we are studying that now, still analyzing. There's a lot of good ideas in there. There's some things that, just won't work with our operation. They really did, bring a lot of outside views and positive things that we can do. We are already working on things from there to implement for our 2012 business plan. We're working with the Pleasant Prairie Premium Outlets, trying to co-brand and co-market with them. We're working with some of the different hotels to try and bring golf packages there. We're taking a lot of time and effort and analyzing the rates and seeing what we should do with that. We should be bringing the business plan and the rates to you guys. I'm hoping maybe that February meeting, and we'll have that for discussion for you also, with the business plan, and some options. Right now we're looking at the Red 9 and what the possibilities of doing what we can with that. We have all the paperwork of how we acquired the land and all the, down at the corporate council, so they're studying that, see what options that we would have if so we know what we can do with that Red 9. We'll find that out, and we'll have a list of options for you guys of what we can do with that land there or the Red 9. And then we did have three really good tournaments this fall. Our Turkey Scramble was double the participants of last year. We had 106 players in there, and just the comments that we got from both the Halloween Horror and the Turkey Scramble, everybody loved the events, everybody loved the formats, the golf courses, and the service. Everybody loved the food and beverage, so those all went off really well. And then we've rebooked several of the larger golf outings for next year. We also booked a NCAA golf tournament. We're going to have 32 five-man teams, 32 schools show up. They're also bringing spectators and coaches, so it'll be really good for the for the area businesses. So we're going to have, 160 players come and play golf in the last week of September, last weekend in September. The tournament will be Saturday afternoon, all day Sunday and Monday. So I'm really happy to announce that. That's going to be great. And then we also booked the PGA Pro Tournament. It won't be until April 15th of 2013, but at least we got on the PGA schedule, so we got all the Wisconsin PGA members coming down, and they're going to have exposure to the golf course, and that's going to be great word-of-mouth advertising. We also have booked a junior PGA event, and we're working on the WSGA Net Partners event yet, so there's some exciting things, some good tournaments coming up. So.
Any questions for Dan? Brother Grady?
For your NCAA golf tournament, how much of the course will they use on that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday? Just tell me if it's going to rotate between courses or how it's set up.
We believe that they'll be the practice round will be Saturday, and that'll be on one of the golf courses, and they'll set their own tee times. And then Sunday morning and Monday morning, we're going to have like 80 tee off one course and 80 tee off on the other course, and then rotate it for the Monday, and that's how they're going to get their combined score for the event.
Do you start with a shotgun, or how was the format?
I believe it'll be straight tee times. Yep.
Dan, you talk about the percentage being down. I mean, I look at this, and it seems like this whole Great Lakes, Ohio Valley area seems to be the hardest hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you account for that? Is that due to the inclement weather or the
yes.
colder weather? Or, I mean, because, man, you look at that little patch, and but that's like 4 percentage points off of, at best, off everyone else,
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was all the inclement spring weather that we had. I mean, not getting open in March, the poor April, the poor May that we had, and then all of a sudden it turned around again in October, and we had the first 10, 11 days was good, and then, we had really difficult times getting our roofing projects done, and the paving projects did not happen that we wanted to do around the clubhouse because of the inclement weather. So that's exactly what it measures. This study measures is how many hours that people are able to get out on the golf course and play.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? So everyone's aware, I was informed this weekend that we're going to have two resolutions coming to the county board tomorrow on the golf courses. They'll be referred to this committee, so we'll have them to deal with next month and in the following months.
Mr. Chairman, I just saw that come through on the email this morning at the end of that to the agenda. So tomorrow night, is there going to be any discussion? Do you need any of us there? Okay,
no.
It's just kind of...
There'll be no discussion. It's two resolutions, and the chairman's going to refer them to this committee. And then this committee has to take it up. I don't even have to put it on this committee's agenda. I could hold it up for a while if I wanted to. That's not what people want us to do. So we'll be addressing this in January and February. You mentioned the Corporation Council as far as what we can do. We can do whatever we want at Brightondale. The land, no matter how it was purchased, I think what these resolutions are addressing is shutting down a portion of it. We would still have ownership. If we purchased any of that land, maybe that's what you were referring to, through state grants or something. The only thing those state grants, just like with the Katy Pitt, say is that it can't be used or sold. We're going to be, as a committee here, pushed into addressing this in the next month.
So from just a scheduling standpoint, we're looking at a regular meeting in January, next scheduled meeting, a regular meeting in February, and then a usual special meeting for golf rates. Is that how it would play out, do you think?
No, we'll probably do the rates before that. Yeah, it wouldn't be a special meeting for rates, I don't think.
Just as a regular part of
sure.
the meeting?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that we're hoping to work towards having information, all the information needed to act on those resolutions by You think we'll have it by the beginning of February?
That's my goal.
Okay.
I mean, I would not rather not, you know, if anything does happen with the red, I'd rather not start mowing and cleaning up and all that other stuff in March, you know, when we normally would, if something is going to happen with it. So
I haven't seen either resolution because my cable was out today. They were going to send it to me. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah.
The one resolution basically reads to adopt all the recommendations from the velocity report. That's the one. You'll see that tomorrow night. Yeah.
That would be difficult.
Right. So everybody did know about this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
Monthly activities for highways.
We had a wrap-up meeting for the I-94 construction last week. There's a couple of items they're finishing up on the main line in the vicinity of Highway 50, so the Highway 50 northbound on-ramp will be closed tomorrow if you're heading out that way. Otherwise, all the construction will be completed on Wednesday, except for some work they're doing on the West Frontage Road in the vicinity of the Honda dealership and CarMax. That frontage road is going to be closed until the end of the month. They're putting in some storm sewer in anticipation of the project that's going to start early next year, and that is the complete reconstruction of the southbound lanes from a point a little north of 158 down to Highway 50. So all the traffic will be shifted over to the east side of the road where the northbound lanes are, and it'll be restricted to two lanes in each direction. And big project in 2013, the northbound lanes will be done, and at that point the it'll be eight lanes from a point north of 158 all the way to the state line. Unfortunately, next year, as part of that southbound construction, both the southbound on-ramps and off-ramps at Highway 50 and at Highway 158 will be closed for a period of about 2 to 3 months. So, pretty inconvenient. The good thing is that they won't be closed at the same time. They'll keep 158 open and 150's closed, but vice versa. But and then also next year, the West Frontage Road from Highway 165 south to the state line will be closed for reconstruction. If any of you travel south, again next year, early next year, the Russell Road Bridge over I-94 is going to be reconstructed by IDOT. And then about mid next year, they're going to start expanding the section of I-94 from Russell Road to Highway 173. If you go down that way, that's the only segment left that's only six lanes. They're going to, IDOT and the tollway will be rebuilding that into eight lanes, so they won't have that little gap of six lanes there. That construction's going to extend through the second half of 2012 and all of 2013, so a lot of activity on the interstate next year, and then there's quite a bit of other state, county, and local road projects. I'll bring that up at another meeting in January or February. But there's going to be quite a bit of activity next year in the county. I also received a resolution from the Village of Bristol regarding some traffic control they would like to see us do. They would like us to put flashing lights on the 35 mile per hour signs on Highway C at Highway U in both directions. They would like us to move the Wesley Chapel sign at the county's expense so that it doesn't interfere with the traffic that's stopped on Highway U at Highway C. They would like us to move the We Energy's power pole on Highway C and Highway U so that it doesn't obstruct views of people stopped on Highway U and they want us to install flashing stop signs on Highway MB at Highway C in both directions. So I haven't had a chance to look into all of this, but I'll do a review and take whatever action is appropriate. There's no none of that requires any action by the committee. I just wanted to make you aware of what was going on there. And then we had a kind of an ongoing issue. This actually isn't on a county trunk highway. It's on the town of Salem Road, but out in the vicinity of Rock Lake. If you're familiar with that area, they've on Rock Lake Road, between Trevor and the Illinois state line, they've had an ongoing problem with people speeding and accidents and that type of thing. And it does involve a little small section of Highway JF. The citizens have asked that the speed limit be reduced from 45 miles an hour to 25 miles per hour on Highway JF. There's no way that it would warrant a 25 mile an hour speed there, but it's possible that we could do something, some sort of reduction there, but I'll have to do a warrant analysis on the speed, and I'll respond to that inquiry that they've had on there. If in fact it does warrant a speed reduction, then I will have bring that back to the committee.
Gary, would that be from C to the colony house?
That's where they were requesting the speed be reduced from 45 to 25.
From C to the colony house?
Correct.
Because then if you go further, I call it Dooley's Resort, but you know where I'm talking. If you go further, it does drop down to 35.
To 25.
25.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I think there could be a little buffer in there of a 35 to a 25.
Yeah.
Possibly, but at 25 on the county trunk is almost impossible to enforce, and it gets to be a bit of a problem when people have such varying speeds on the highways. At Highway E and JR in town of Summers in the vicinity of Parkside there, we contractors currently doing all the work to install traffic signals. Unfortunately, some of the components of the signals, the actual standards themselves, are on back order from the manufacturer, so it may be mid January before we actually get everything installed and activated, but the all the underground work's being completed right now, all the road work, pavement marking, everything will be ready. Also have to do when the parts come in is come in and actually install the signals themselves and activate them. And then down the road from that intersection on Highway L and 39th Avenue, I don't know if you've been there lately, but the city has opened up the missing piece of 39th Avenue between Highway L and I forget the name of the town road, but the next road to the south. So basically 39th Avenue now is a continuous road from the state line all the way to that intersection of Highway E and JR. There's been some concern about the that new intersection at Highway L and 39th Avenue, and I just today received some information from the city. They did a warrant analysis for traffic signals. They did a warrant analysis for a four-way stop, and they said that none of those warrants were met, so they're not recommending any traffic control be put up there. Although they did recommend some brush clearing and some additional signage be put in. I guess at this point, I'll go along with their recommendation, but it's going to have to be watched very closely. If you happen to travel through there, it's a little tough from a when you're stopped on the new 39th Avenue in both directions, northbound or southbound, the vision's not the greatest, and the volume of traffic on Highway L is really high. So I'm going to watch it really closely, and if there's any problems that develop, and not necessarily accidents, but just from an operational standpoint, if we start seeing issues, I'll be requesting a four-way stop be put up there, at least as an interim measure. But as of right now, I'll go along with the city's recommendations.
Whose recommendation?
The City of Kenosha traffic engineer.
Ask a little further on that too, because Saturday Parkside had their big craft show, and it was probably the first time a lot of people used 39th Avenue, and it was tough getting across 18th. I did it, and you got to really look, because they fly down L from 30th Avenue West or East from the other stop. They are just flying, and you can't be tentative when you're looking back both ways to get across that road. But I really appreciate the light setting going up by 12th Street, going into Parkside. Right. That's going to be a big help. Right. You could never get across that road anyway.
Parkside's really has been appreciative of that, and it's just unfortunate it's going to be delayed, but eventually.
I appreciate your concern about Aldo, though.
We don't have to follow the recommendations of the city. We can stop the traffic on 18th or Hell, but like I said, I'll keep a very close eye on it. And then just lastly, I've actually met with every employee in the highway department in last week, and with the some of the other staff members, and we did develop some new guidelines and policies based on the new county guidelines and policies, completely in line with the countywide policies, but more specific to our department. So every employee's got a copy of that information. I explained it to every employee. I took questions. So just want to let you know, if you hear anything, certainly feel free to contact me if you have any questions or if you get any concerns regarding that. That was all I had for this evening.
Supervisor, Chair.
Yeah, how are we doing? I mean, we're set up, I would assume, for snow, and everything seems to be right on target with that, because it's going to be coming sooner or later.
Equipment-wise, we're fine. Everything's ready to go. Salt, we've got plenty of salt. We are in the process of hiring 14 new employees to fill the vacancies that have occurred within the last 18 months or so. We have filled 12 of those positions so far with a combination of the temporary employees that we've had, plus some new outside people, and we have just a few more interviews to do here and to fill those last two positions. So the supervisors and the management staff have been really happy that we're going to finally go into a snow season with a full staff of employees. It hasn't been the case in the last couple of years, so they're very comfortable that things should proceed well this winter.
Thank you.
Anything else for Gary? For the day?
Just along that, did you do the that same salt solution on the eye this year, or is it every year you do that?
Yeah, we as soon as the frost season starts, we spray bridge decks, some curves, shady spots, anything that is kind of well known to us for frost to develop, and that's usually the bridge decks on the interstate and in those type of areas. We spray, it's a magnesium chloride solution, it's just worked tremendously. I mean, it's virtually eliminated the crash problems we've had, particularly on bridge decks. I mean, it used to be just cars on their roofs all the time running over these frosty bridge decks, and it's virtually eliminated that. So it works well.
So those of you that don't know, it's a preemptive spraying. I believe it lasts for about a week.
About a week, yeah.
Supervisor Grady?
Paving season's done. We're all done with paving.
Correct.
Done for 2011. In regards to any rail street crossing issues where the railroads need to maintain their area with 4 feet near the side of the right-of-way, mm-hmm. How are we doing with that? Are we getting cooperation from them? Do we have pokers in the fire? Where are we at?
We've had the one issue with the crossing on Highway S, and they have done some temporary repairs to that with some asphalt material. We've supplemented that as needed with our regular rotation of patching. They've responded. Is it a permanent solution? Not yet, but at least we have gotten a response from them. So.
Do we have anything that we're actually after them for large-scale repairs that we see need being done on county roads? Or?
No, we've got the UP railroad crossing on 60th Street will be completely reconstructed next year as part of that highway reconstruction. They were very cooperative on that, CP railroad crossing just west of that location on Highway K or 60th Street will be reconstructed in 2013. Right now, no outstanding issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for Mr. Sisson? With that, thank you, Gary. Mm-hmm. Any other matters? There is other matters.
I just wanted to check, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that your internet might have been down. I sent the KD final draft of it on Friday. Okay, so no. I'll be sent. Is it up again or?
No, it's not.
You want me to print you off a copy before? Or should I just, you think it'll be up, you think? Have you gotten any indication?
I have no idea. It's part of this ongoing road project out there on 93rd Street that I've had nothing but trouble with my internet's on the cable. And
you want me to print out a pretty, but I can print one out for you.
Yeah, I can pick it up tomorrow if you don't have to do it tonight.
I'll print it out.
I'll be right around tomorrow. Okay. Anything else? Been moved to adjourn by Supervisor
Grady.
O'Day, second by Supervisor Grady. It's 8:08. All of the favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? To the governor. Thank you.